As here are the Cover 3 Athletics weekly Whippy Old Football podcast, as we're going to break down our 5 championship games at Heinz Field, as it's that time, Thanksgiving weekend, 5 championships, 2 days, all in Heinz Field. Yes, we're back in Heinz, finally there. As here's the schedule for the next 2 days, is first of all, happy Thanksgiving everyone, hope you guys had a great turkey day, and the football and the fun just getting started. As Friday, it'll be a Heinz doubleheader, as 2 o'clock's the 1A Whippy Old Championship. Bishop Cavan takes on Our Lady of the Sacred Heart. And 5 o'clock is scheduled as the Whippy Old 2A title game. Beaver Falls tries to go back-to-back as they take on Sarah Catholic. And then you'll have a triple header at Heinz on Saturday, as at noon, it'll be the 3A Whippy Old Championship. Central Valley looks for a three-peat as they take on North Catholic. 3 o'clock is the Whippy Old 4A title game, as Alcoff is back for 14th straight year. They take on Belle Vernon. And then the heavyweight game, last but not least, 6 o'clock kick Saturday night, is the Whippy Old 5A championship. Number 1, undefeated Moon, versus number 2, Penn Trafford. So that's the schedule for the weekend. So we're just going to break down game by game. As here we go. So the 1A Whippy Old championship, Bishop Cavan, Our Lady of the Sacred Heart, starting things off Friday afternoon. So, look at these two teams. Canada came in as they were kind of that sexy dog picked to be a good team this year, to be a dark horse, and they've delivered. I mean, they've gone 12-1, the only loss coming to Clareton, which they competed in that game. Since, though, they've won 7 straight, winning each game by at least 17 points, and 6 of those have been by 28-plus points a game. The Crusader offense is electric, it's dynamic, it's exciting, it's highlight-worthy every time they're on the field. But what doesn't get enough credit is the defense. The Crusader defense is absolutely good. They're big plays. They come up with turnovers, and they come at the right times, too. So what's not to like about it? As you look at their numbers, as they go with a two-quarterback system, as both are young, as sophomore Jason Cross, as he's a dual threat, as he's thrown for over just about 1,400 yards this year, 16 touchdowns, 4 picks. He's also had over 460 yards on the ground with 12 touchdowns. But then the guy who relieves him kind of times takes over, freshman Cole Olszewski, who's thrown for 649 yards and 9 scores with just 3 picks. And he's come on second half of the season as well. So I just expect to see both these guys get snaps tomorrow. And again, you know, I mean, if I had to guess, I'd say Cross probably starts, but I definitely would expect to see both guys take snaps and in meaningful points in the game, especially if Cameron struggled on offense. Kind of like last week, they got off to a slow start. They insert Olszewski in, the offense goes down the level, especially in the second half, and they pulled away from Cornell. But a big part of how they pull away is the dual threat guys, best friends, game breakers, Lasay Lax, Xavier Nelson. As Nelson, both these guys are big time on offense. Lax is huge in their return game. Nelson's, you know, also dynamic with the ball in his hands, and the best defensive back on the team. Lax isn't far behind. You look at them on the air. Lax, 41 catches, 826 yards. Yeah, he leads the team with 14 touchdowns. Nelson, on the other hand, 35 grabs, 715 yards. He's run for 160 yards. He scored 11 touchdowns. Then they have other guys like Jaden Lindsey, who's another guy who's good at over 200 yards receiving. And then Marquise Carter leads the team with 550 yards rushing. Keyshawn Harris has added about over 350 yards to the ground. Jaden Torres added a little bit as well. So these guys can spread it out. They all can do it. And they're fun to watch. But again, the Crusader defense hasn't gotten enough credit for how dynamic it's been this year. As on the year, they're only giving up 6.9 points a game. So talk about that stat. Now you look at Our Lady of the Sacred Heart. They're the 9th seed. What have they done? I mean, they shut down GCC in the first round. They then take on Clareton and fall behind 15-0, come back with 29 straight to win that game, and they shut down the Bear offense entirely in the second half. And then the semifinals, Olsh grounded it out. It kept Rochester, tried to hold them off 14-13 to avenge what was an ugly regular season loss early October. So the Chargers, maybe it's a team of destiny. Maybe it's a team that's playing with house money at the right time. You know, whatever it may be, is Olsh comes into this game with a very good defense. The only difference to this matchup, that's a glaring difference, that the Olsh offense is not big plays. It's not a juggernaut. They keep it simple. It goes like this. When they protect the football and move the sticks, they're going to take time off the clock, they're going to drive, and they're going to build momentum. They're also going to play at their pace, get their defense a chance to lock in, put pressure on the opposing offense, take them out of the rhythm. When Ole Miss gets sloppy, can't convert, turn over, that's when they've gotten in trouble this year. And you look at the Chargers, Nehemia Azeem, if I mispronounce that, I apologize. As he's thrown for just about 1,800 yards, he's got 14 touchdowns and 3 picks. He's also run for over 100 yards, he got 7 scores. Well, let's call him Azeem. Well, then running the ball, Stephen Greer leads the team 729 yards, 7 touchdowns. B.J. Vaughn's had a nice change of pace with just about 400 yards rushing. And he's gone himself 2 scores. Brandon Brazil has been nice. 10 catches for over 120 yards, over 300 yards on the ground. He's scored 4 touchdowns, doing it both ways. But then you got 4 guys who can catch a football spread out of it, as Ethan Gardner's got a little bit, 10 catches for just under 200 yards. And he's scored once. But it was really in the top 3. I mean, Ziggy McIntosh leads the team, 53 catches, 668 yards, 6 touchdowns. Deron Greer, 23 grabs, for 350 yards, 3 scores. And then Dorian Tate, 18 grabs, 261 yards, 4 touchdowns. He also run for 86 yards. So, again, they got guys who can do it. They spread it out. But at the same time, though, for the Chargers, not going to light it up, not going to move quickly, and that's okay because that's worked for them. It's also interesting because you look at these two teams, both of them are young. Crusaders only have 5 seniors, Ole Miss 6. Of course, Kahneman, you know, they've had a quiet turnaround the last couple of years. And, we were high on them coming into the season, but you just didn't know how far they can go, and they've definitely been phenomenal with a 12-1 record. Ole Miss, on the other hand, you know, through arguably for the first 7 games, you just weren't sure where they were at. But the likes of the last 2 weeks, they turned it on, especially beating Cornell in the regular season finale. And then 3 weeks of playoffs, they've been great. They've had timely plays. The defense has been phenomenal. The offense has been good enough. So it doesn't matter, you know, to see how it breaks down. As this one's interesting, as you kind of break it down, as both these teams only have one whoopee Latavia to their name. Of course, Cayman's came in 1990, 31 years ago. This is their second ever trip to the championship game. While Our Lady of Sacred Heart's only trip came just a couple years ago, 2018, when they won it. So they're trying to get their second in 4 years as well as all time. So, I mean, it's exciting. They want to hit a lot of parity this year. Especially whenever Ole Miss knocked out Clareton, you knew it was going to be a wild finish. And you expect to have it be a good game. As another thing is, we talked about the Crusaders, how they've been blowing out people. They've been involved in 7 games that have been decided by a touchdown or less. They've won 5 of those. So you just kind of wonder, if it gets tight late, does that favor Ole Miss? Or is their lack of a big play threat going to hurt them potentially if Cayman busts one? That's kind of something to look at as well. And this is crazy because the 1A championship, this is the first time since 2007 that the 1A final has no Clareton, has no Starrocks, has no Jeanette, and has no Rochester. So that's just let that sink in as well. So people want some excitement, they want some craziness. We have it. As well as looking at Our Lady of Sacred Heart, they're the number 9 seed to get here. They are the lowest seeded team to play in the Whitfield Championship since 2010, when it was the old 4 classes, when Central Valley's a 14th seed and went to and won the 3A title. So if you want something different, if you want parity, if you want to be shaken up, here it is. You got 2 young teams, 2 programs that Ole Miss, I mean, since they won all 2018, it really hasn't taken much of a step down, you know, but also the first time back since then, second time ever, and then Kahneman's 31 years since they last were here and won it. So you have 2 new programs here, 2 programs that are trying to build themselves back up and go in the right direction and build something, and it's something new. So you look at this game, I think the glaring difference, though, is the fact Crusaders have the big playability, they got the game breakers on both sides of the ball, and the return game, or Ole Miss, you know, in a way, it kind of goes by Azeem, because in the semifinal win, it was his legs that produced both their touchdowns, even though they relied on his arm more so. And they have a nice balance. I just think at the end of the Crusaders, the big play guys, give them a huge advantage in the return game as well as on defense. I just think this is too much speed, too much aggressiveness, and I think that's going to let the Crusaders pull away in the fourth quarter, win this game. I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. I think it's going to be closer than the score shows, but I think the Crusaders win this one by 11, something like a score of 28-17, pulling away late. So now we go to the Whippy Old 2A Championship, number 5, Beer Falls, who's trying to go back-to-back, as well as get their third title in the last 6 years, takes on number 6, Sarah Catholic. This is an intriguing matchup. As a little crazy fun fact, this is the first time that the 2A title game is played at Heinz Field since 2015, which was the last year before the PIAA went to 6 classes, which is crazy because it's crazy because RMU hosted for a couple years, Norwin hosted 2 years ago, and then Martorella Stadium, of course, because of COVID and Heinz didn't have anything, hosted a year ago. So now it's back at Heinz for the first time in a long time. So it's just kind of crazy that, you know, it's there. Again, it's exciting to get to go to Heinz, obviously. Yes, so we're going to talk about the defending champs who are one win away from going back to back. So you look at Beaver Falls and everything. This year, in the last month, it's finally been talked about and also made about how they've had a total 360, maybe even called a 720, and how they've done this year, because they still have a very good defense that's loaded with athletes and playmakers and a tough grittiness. But it's been a full-on air raid offensive attack. And Jaron Brickner needs a lot of credit, as the man has directed things that he's done great. They started off 0-3. They had probably one of the toughest 3-game stretches to start the season of anybody in the state, let alone in the last couple of years. And that says a lot with how week 0 there's flexibility and freedom to do with what you want of it. That is saying, how non-conference play, the Whippy has been criticized the last couple of years for how it's been, watered down. So this year they did a much better job scheduling it. But, those games, I think, it really helped this team transition to an air raid team, as well as helped Jaron Brickner grow. And to this point, Brickner, 2,477 yards passing, 24 touchdowns, 10 picks. He's also added over 400 yards on the ground with 8 scores. Phenomenal for him. You have Isaiah Ashkenbacher, who low-key has run for nearly 800 yards and 12 scores, averaging 8.7 a carry. He's also got 105 yards on 15 catches. Quinton Adamson's added 266 yards on the ground with 4 scores. So they've powered him when they had to, and you've had Ja'Cory Brambug, Kadir Thomas, Trey Singleton, and for a little bit of rushing stuff too. Those guys averaging 7+ yards a carry. Tyler Kane as well. But then you look at the receiving, that's where it is. And Tyler Kane, the star pass rusher for them, man in the middle of the defense. He's done good as kind of an H-back tight end type. 16 catches, 383 yards, 5 scores. You have Kadir Thomas, 23 grabs, 451 yards, 9 touchdowns. Trey Singleton leads the team, 39 grabs, 848 yards, and 11 touchdowns. And then Makai Clark, 32 catches, 649 yards, and 8 touchdowns. But all those guys play key roles in the back end of the defense as well. And again, the Tigers collide it up. They can air it out. But you got to realize that this defense, deserves a lot of credit too. They've been phenomenal. And it's been good. It is, of course. They start off 0-3. They've won 9 straight since. The offense and the area have developed beautifully since then. The defense is it's been gritty. It's been physical. It's gone better each week. And it's a really good underrated unit. And again, a showcase against Steel Valley. Yes, Steel Valley is banged up. But the Tiger offense didn't light it up. But they played good enough to get 21 points on the board. The defense contained Steel Valley, keeping them to 8. And that needs to be said. And it's going to be needed. Because again, you look at this matchup. And we're going to kind of flip the page to the semifinal last week between Sarah and Starox, where you looked at it and said, both these defenses have really good numbers, both these offenses are high-octane attacks, what's going to prevail? And once again, I was double wrong. Picked against Sarah, they won. Said it was going to be high-scoring, it wasn't. And again, the Sarah Catholic defense has been arguably the most dominant unit in the 2A playoffs this year, because the Sarah defense has been brilliant. Their yearly total has given up 8.8 points a game, but in the playoffs, they have allowed a total of 33 points. They've beaten Shanks 61-21. They shut out the Royals 6-0 on the road. And then Neutralside Stokes, they held them to 12 points, beat them 13-12. They led for a lot of the night. They rallied back to win late in the game. So a lot of grit showed by the Eagles there. And again, you know, maybe they are the team of destiny, because, I mean, the playoffs, they've been absolutely brilliant. As, of course, beer falls really quickly, though, since the early three losses, the Tigers have given up a total of 72 points. So that's something as well to look at. Again, and again, we talked, you know, you kind of look at this, and it, again, it has the same feeling. Honestly, we're going to go through the offensive numbers. So I think I'm going to go with it. I think both defenses shine, and I think it's going to come down to late, the final 3 minutes of the game. I think it's going to be a case where whoever hits 20 points wins the game. It's just a matter of which one. I do think the Tigers having the experience of being in the title game a year ago will pave a way here. And I'll be honest, I picked against Sarah every week. I've been wrong every week. So, you know what, I'm not gonna change course now. And you know what, Sarah, maybe give me a thanks because you guys have got here. So I'm not taking any credit for it, but if we criticize, remember that. But you're looking at Sarah Kalik's numbers, Max Rocco, over 1,750 passing yards, 24 touchdowns, 7 picks. And then running the ball, Mekhi Brooks-Detrill, 863 yards, 5 scores, also 90 yards and 8 catches. Javon Campbell-Holt has run for nearly 200 yards, with mainly 33 catches, 585 yards, 10 touchdowns. Terrell Booth leads the team, 40 grabs, 842 yards, 14 scores. Farrell Fisher's at 135 on the ground, 133 yards and 8 catches. He scored 7 touchdowns. Of course, he's the star defensive back, also a dynamic return guy when given the chance to. Amir Spencer, 19 catches, over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns. And of course, Paul Pearson doesn't get enough credit for being a star pass rusher to anchor the defense. Of course, Booth, Campbell, Holt, Spencer, all keys in the back end of the defense as well. Daquan Chaffa, another two-way star. Elijah Ward, another guy up front. So the Eagles are loaded, and they're just loaded all over the place. So, honestly, I do think, again, both defenses are going to have the way. It's going to be one of those low-scoring games. And both teams are loaded with options on offense. Both like to spread it out. Both have come up clutch in the right time. As we talk about Beard Falls winning it all recently, 2016, and then a year ago. Sarah Catholic, on the other hand, hasn't been in the final since they won it all. I'm sorry, as we talked about the 2007-18 title game a little bit ago. Well, Sarah Catholic, that's the last time they've been in a Whitfield championship, and the last time they won it all was when they were Class 1A in 07. So, maybe the stars align here with how Sarah's defense has been absolutely dominant. It is kind of, it's the first time since 07 that the 1A game hasn't featured any of the Big Four. Sarah took out Star Rocks last week. You know, I mean, I don't know, maybe some draws of crazy parallels here. Who knows? You know, I mean, Ulster got Rochester, Ulster got Clareton. I mean, there's a million ways you could say maybe just aligning for Sarah Kalik to win it all. But I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon because I feel like that'd be more disrespectful than not since I haven't picked them yet. I'm going to go Beer Falls. I think the Tigers, having been there a year ago, that experience is going to make things, I'll just make a little bit of a difference to know and handle it late. Sarah's been absolutely brilliant. Fourth quarter, last 2 weeks, of course, holding on to deny Laurel inside the 10-yard line, and then coming back to score late and then denying Star Rocks in the final minutes last week. So, well, Beer Falls, on the other hand, they've been control each of their playoff wins. And I'm going to go with the experience and the fact that they've been just seemed to be a little more steady in the fourth quarter. I'm going to go Beer Falls wins this one 20-17 in a good, hard-fashioned battle. That, again, is an absolute toss-up, and I think, you know, again, it's going to be one of the best. I mean, I think it has the potential to be maybe the best game of the five. And that's a lot of the best we've lined up. Now we flip to Saturday's triple hitter, so the 3A Whitfield title game, Central Valley, North Catholic. Looking at it here, the parallels with the 1A game's history are just insane, and that's what kind of, because you look at it, North Catholic's only Whitfield title came back in 2013 when they were Class 1A. And, I mean, and to be on that list of 1A champions since 1998, it's crazy considering you see a lot of Rochesters, a lot of Clarets, and just see Sarah ones, obviously, see Jedi a couple times, see Olish ones, then you see North Connacht there. So this is North Connacht trying to give the second title in school history. First time they've been back in this game since 2013, when PJ Fulmer and the boys went to work. And North Connacht, this group of seniors, finally get over the hurdle, because, I mean, the last couple of years, so, you know, they've had a lot of good regular seasons. They made a lot of deep runs, but they always fell up short. And again, last week it kind of sniffed that way, but they squeaked it out 7-0 to get here. So finally, can the group break through as Joey Prentice comes in just over 1,450 passing yards, 20 touchdowns, 4 picks. He's dynamic. He's going for over 360 yards with another 8 scores. Kyle Tabinski leads the team in both rushing and receiving with 495 yards on the ground, 516 yards and 27 catches, 18 touchdowns as well, leads the team. Absolute stud. Jack Fennell right behind him, both in rushing and receiving, with 483 yards, well, 23 catches for 315 yards, and he's second on the team with 13 touchdowns. And then Tyler Mazaz, don't count him out, 19 grabs, 443 yards, and 9 touchdowns. William Straub, 11 grabs, 295 yards, and 7 scores. Well, then, Daniel Long, known to be the big pass rush, also nice, 11 grabs, 156 yards. And he's added 2 touchdowns. And then Carson Laconi, stud in the secondary, along with Chase Arrington. So you have a dynamic duo back there. Arrington also has over 200 yards rushing with 4 scores this year as well. So you look at North Connacht, you got the dual threat quarterback. You got a couple guys who can do both, you know, running the ball, pass catching. You have some of the game breakers out there. And then you have 2 stud DBs, you know, and like I said, Chase Arrington and Carson Laconi. Plus, Tipinski is also key in that defense, as is Daniel Long. And then you got a really good group of linemen. So, North Connacht, I mean, you'd like to think them just maybe they have enough talent spread out with experience that they could hang a challenge Central Valley. But again, who really has challenged them this year, the last couple of years, is the Warriors going for a third straight 3A championship. It would also be their 5th in school history, all since 2010. Of course, 2010, they made the run as a 14th seed to win it all. I believe in their first year of existence, too. And then, I mean, they've been to the finals a few other times. They won it all in 2014, and they came back to go back-to-back 2019, 2020. Now, this group of seniors who are going for their third ring, but can finally say it's their team, you know, again, are one step away. And Central Valley hasn't messed around all year. You feel like they just kind of haven't been respected in terms of, they haven't got as much shine as they've deserved. I mean, they're not scoring. I mean, they score just about 48 points a game. They allow only just over 6 points a game. And the Warriors, they're on a run. Also undefeated, 12-0 this year. You know, I mean, the 2 playoff wins have been by a total of 92-0. They've scored at least 41 points in each of their last 8 games, with a couple of those going over the 50 mark. So Central Valley is humming on all cylinders. The other side, North Connacht, they give up just under 8 a game, scored just under 41. But again, they fought again. And I think kind of the big calling card here, North Connacht squeaked out a hard-fought 7-0 win over Avonworth. They battled back to beat KO 48-41. Look at Central Valley, there are similar results. They went to KO early October, 142-0. 2 weeks ago, they went to Avonworth, 143-6. And then as a sample size, they went to Ellicottville, 121-12 in early September. So, this is kind of, you know, it's kind of a comparison. You just wonder if Central Valley is still way too much for anybody to keep up. It's for the Warriors. Antoine Johnson took over quarterback mid-season. He's literally gone better each week. As he's 990 yards passing, 15 touchdowns, 4 picks. He's running for over 150 yards and 4 scores. Matt Merritt did a little bit, started the year quarterback, got hurt, moved back to more so be back into and focus on the linebacker. So he's been a dominant linebacker for 3 years. I mean, offensively, he's got over 330 yards rushing, or just under 250 passing. I mean, he's accounted for 11 touchdowns, so if they want to shake it up, he could take snaps, you never know. But it all goes on Landon Alexander. The guy's a superstar. Alexander, 1,730 rushing yards, 27 touchdowns. Also at 79 yards on 5 catches. Phenomenal. Brett Fitzsimmons, nice change of pace guy. adds 413 yards to 11 touchdowns on the ground. And then the receivers, I mean, not a whole lot to pass, but Javen Thompson's done great. 23 grabs, over 550 yards, 8 scores. Denarius Sampson is averaging 29.5 yards a catch. Jack Bible is another stud linebacker, is averaging 18.5 yards a catch. As Bible's got 6 touchdowns, Simpson's has 5. And then Donovan Jones, just 6 grabs at 125 yards, go with 2 scores. So the game breakers, the big plays all over the place. And, I mean, the Warrior defense, though. I mean, obviously, Sean Fitzsimmons, an absolute superstar, going to Pitt. And give this guy more talk. Please give him, because he deserves it, just like Landon Alexander. But then behind, I mean, listen, in the middle, you got Bible and Matt Merritt leading, directing the show behind Fitzsimmons. The secondary, you have Javen Thompson anchoring it, you know, being the stud. I mean, the other guys have stepped up as well. So, really, there's not really much of anything not to like on this team for Central Valley. So, the game pick, I'm going to Central Valley for the 3-peat. I just think until someone proves they can even hang with them, you can't pick against them. In fact, they're going for a 3-peat. These guys have been there the last 2 years. You know, some of them, a lot of them are 2.5, 3-year starters. North Calic, the senior class is a really good, talented group. Nothing but credit to them for winning the conference, being 12-0 themselves, having a phenomenal season, and finally getting to Heinz Field. I just think the fact that this is the first trip for them and for the program in 8 years, compared to a team that's been there 3 years in a row, is trying to get back to Hershey for a third straight year and get another one of those. I just think that's going to be the difference maker. Plus, the fact that Central Valley won 51-0 in the semifinal game is insane to me. I think North Carolina hangs around, maybe even gets scores first if they get the chance to. But I think Central Valley is going to win this game by at least 3 scores. I just think there's that good as the experience will make a difference in the second half. But it will be key. But how do the Trojans do win the game? How could they win the game? Well, they got to avoid any type of early jitters. I think you just going to let your athletes be athletes. You got to utilize Joey Prentice's dual threat ability. You got to have Tabinski and Fennell get out in space, get the ball, and just use some variety, use some creativity in the play calling to test Central Valley's top knowledge defense. And then on your own defensively, I think you have to do your best to make them have to chunk it out, grind it out, and make them go on 9, 10, 12 play drives versus the big playability. But when you go against Landon Alexander and a very much so growing and confident in Antoine Johnson, it's pretty hard to do. So I like Central Valley winning this one. Now we'll go to the Whipfield 4A Championship, which will be midday Saturday. Bell Vernon and Aliquippa again. All three of these matchups Saturday are number one and number two, but really it doesn't have the feel of the typical one versus two will be, or your Trayvon Goats, a heavyweight. Ooh, it's, and these are all intriguing matchups in their own different ways. It's, of course, the Quips, this is the 14th straight year they're playing in a Whipfield Championship game. Obviously, back in Heinz. But for the Quips, just is, I mean, again, let's focus on Incredibles. One of the smallest schools in the state playing in 4A now. A 14th straight year in a championship game. To say that they're trying to just get their sixth in that span, I don't want to discredit the success they've had, but obviously, you know, you think being there that many times, they can get more. And they've been in a lot of classic games. So they're trying for their sixth in the span, as they have 17 titles to their name. No disrespect intended, obviously. Of course, the Quips, last one in 2018. In the last 2 years, it's been heartbreak. And not just because they lost, but how they lost. That was in 2019. In the 3A title game, Central Valley losing in overtime. And then last year, in the 4A title game, TJ losing again in overtime up in Wexford. So now can the Quips get over that to bring home another championship? And this year's team, it's different than what it's been because you have new young guys stepping up to direct the show with veterans who have been there and have tasted these defeats. As it starts with the quarterback, sophomore Quentin Good, in a more aerial, aggressive offense that Mike Warfield installed, throwing for 1,500 yards, 15 touchdowns, just the 5 picks. He really hasn't run much at all, but it's okay, though. And then you have a superstar freshman, which will be the next big thing out of Aliquippa, Taqui Hayes, 1,376 rushing yards, 16 touchdowns, a man absolutely carried in the semifinal win. You know, and just maybe this is the Quips' time. I mean, the last 2 years, overtime has been very cruel to them in the championship. last week in the semifinals, they went to double OT against McKeesport, and it looked like it was going to be another overtime heartbreak, only for it to go the way this time, then the one to get back here. So, you know, maybe look at the rest of the team. John Tracy stepped up, nearly 500 yards rushing, nearly 7 yards of carry. He's got 13 touchdowns. Quaylen Darby, Nate Lindsay, the nice little shake-up, change of paces in the backfield, but also the receiving game. You have 5 guys who have all done something. I mean, Sayre Clark leads the team, 26 grabs, 513 yards. He's 7 touchdowns. Tyjae Thornton, 22 grabs, 392 yards. And he has 6 scores. Donovan Walker, 11 catches, 140 yards, 6 touchdowns. Jamar Jeter, Brandon Briggs with 7 catches, respectfully almost 200 yards, 67 yards. They both have 1 touchdown. Actually, I'm sorry, Banks has 3. Jeter is 1. But the Quips, I mean, they have the stud line that we all know about, the big 3 they have. You have a dynamic secondary that's just with speed and ball-hawking ability and in this offense. And they can shake it. They can pound the rock. They can spread it out, air it out a little bit. The defense has been solid all year. That's coming into this game. Alcoa gives up 9.7 a game. But then you excuse the 25 they allowed to Beaver Falls in the opening win. You excuse the 21 they allowed in the loss to Central Valley the next week. And this is what they've done defensively during this 9-game win streak. They have 4 shutouts, including in the quarterfinals over the Laurel Highlands. They've given up 7 points to Beaver, 6 points to Newcastle in the regular season. And then the highs, 13 in a big win at Shore Valley, 14 in a win at Blackhawk and another big win. And then in that span, 21 when they edged McKeesport double overtime last week, 27-21 that win. So again, they've been top-notch. Now you look at Bell Vernon, talk about top-notch, undefeated, 10-0 comes into this game. They average 40.5 a game, give up 11.5. As the first one is to talk about line play, this might be, out of the 5 championships, you might have the most equal line play. Because Bell Vernon's line, there's a little bit of disrespect coming into the season, but they've proven themselves each week, and it's one of the top units in the entire Whippeal coming into the game. And when you have a couple of dynamic players behind it, it's hard not to do it. As you have the superstar Devin Whitlock, who this guy has just been phenomenal on the year, throwing, Bell Vernon doesn't really air it out much, so you can't knock it, but he's got 1,023 pass yards, 9 touchdowns and 2 picks. He's run for 1,189 yards, 25 touchdowns. He's also a dynamic return guy too, a little bit on secondary as well. And again, a 15th player Whippeal history to throw and run for 1,000 yards in a season. Well, then his running mate, the standout star sophomore, Quentin Martin, 902 yards rushing, 164 yards receiving on 10 catches, 16 touchdowns. Missed a little bit of time with an injury, but he's been great ever since he's come back. And they won't call him Jake G because it's too hard to pronounce right now. He's run for just over 500 yards on the year and 8 scores. I'm going to say Gatico. So Jake G will call him, but he's a sophomore too. So talk about talent there on the ball. Then receiving, they don't throw it a whole lot. You got two guys with double digit catches: Evan Pollard, Chase Renner Cohen. You know, Pollard's got 17 for just about 300 yards and 1 touchdown. Roken 15 for over 230, 3 scores. Tanner Steer 8 for 112, and he's got 2 touchdowns. So. The Cole Wakeman, an absolute stud, anchoring the defense in the middle. You have Martin and Whitlock in the back half. So, a lot of excitement here. And again, the best player on the field is Whitlock. The second best player, so you could argue, is Martin. But you look at Alquippa, he's been more than good at quarterback this year. And Dequee Hayes has been an absolute standout as a freshman. And again, I just look at it, both have really good lines. Both also have good defenses. I like Bell Vernon's front seven just a little bit better, but I like Alcoa's secondary better. Special teams, I think it's pretty much even in terms of the return game ability, big play threat. Offensively, you got to go with the senior Devin Whitlock, who's just come up with a play every time they've needed this year, whether It was in the semifinals that busted open against TJ when it was the regular season there. You look at Bill Vernon, they beat TJ twice in the same season. I mean, they eked out the regular season one. They come back nearly 2 months later in a semifinal in a neutral site. They just flat out dominate that game. It wasn't flashy. It wasn't sexy. But Whitlock made big plays. He was the dominant player on the field. And the defense was absolutely lights out. So I'm going to go with these things. I'm going to pick Bell Vernon. I'm going to pick the Leopards just because Whitlock's the best player on the field. And it's all year long. When they've needed it, they've come up with Whitlock's delivered the big play. He's with Mr. Consistent. Mr. Put it on my back. I'm going to get it done all year long. And Bell Vernon's defense thinks playing the best ball at the right time of the year. So is this game going to be closed for 48 minutes? Yes. Could this game go to overtime? Yes. Is it going to come down to the final couple of minutes? Yes. But I'm going to say Whitlock, late fourth quarter, makes a spectacular play that's going to be just as good, if not better, than what he made against TJ the regular season. And because of that, they win the game. I think Bell Vernon wins. It's going to be a higher scoring game. I think they win this one something like 34-29. As of course, to keep on the hit a little bit of history here, Bell Vernon last made the WBO final in 2019 when they got whacked by TJ. Of course, as the only title came back in 1995. So Bell Vernon trying to add on trophy cases. This is their best chance to do it, because for the Leopards, you had the duo you have in Whitlock and Martin. You had the defense led by a bunch of veterans. You had the line play. You beat TJ twice in the same year to get here. If not now, when? So that's another reason why I picked them. This would be that would be an exciting one. And now we go to the WPO 5A Championship, which will be Saturday night. Number one, undefeated Moon versus number two, Penn Trafford. And we got somebody who's going to bring home a championship, which, talk about the excitement. Since the 5A title game was created in 2016, for the most part, you've had a good game each of the 5 years. It's 2016, West Day edged McKeesport, and a little bit of controversy, but the Indians edged them there. Gateway the next year, that was Derek Davis' coming out party. They grounded out over Penn Trafford. 2018, Penn Hills, that great team that went on to win a state title, led by Daquan Hardy, Carlos Mathis, and company. They pulled away from West End in the second half. Then 2019, though, you had Gateway Pierce Township battling it out, you know, up in Norwin. And just a cold, dreary night that the Gators held on to win late. And then a year ago, out in Wexford, PR just dominated, shut out Pierce Township. So I think this year the trend's going to, for the most part, be the same, a good, competitive, hard-fought game. And you look at these two teams and match them up. As Moon on the year scores just over 29 a game, Penn Trafford just over 33 a game. Points allowed, both are exactly at 12.2, which is crazy. You know, they've both allowed 146 points in 12 games, which is just insane. Of course, Moon, the undefeated Allegheny Six champs, coming in 12-0 in the year. And all along, they've done it. It hasn't been sexy, but it's been really good, strong football. They run the ball. They don't turn it over, and they got a really freaking good defense, and they execute on special teams, and it's a senior-laden veteran team. And then leadership was shown in the playoffs, or in the quarterfinals. Woody High, they had to fight it out, but again, late second quarter, they got points, and then second half, they didn't let Woody High get back in the game. They contained it. They went up by two scores quickly in the second half, and they just grinded them down late to hold on. Well, then, last week in the semis against Penn Hills, same situation. They traded blow for blow with a team that was red hot. You come in second half, you score when you need to, you shut them down, and then late in the game, you know, yes, you know, they initially failed to go on a 5-minute drive to close it out, but what they needed, the defense forced an errant pass, they came to Newhouse, picked it off, and then the offense got two first downs on the ground to seal it, to pull on 14-9 to get here. And Moon's no stranger to close wins, because in the regular season, they beat USC by 3, the week after they went to Peters, won by 3. The week after they had, you know, they beat Southfield by 2 touchdowns. So they've been able to do this all year long in many different fashions, many different ways. You know, and on the year, the most points Moons allow is 28 in the win at Fox Chapel, but Fox Chapel has some garbage time touchdowns in the end of September there. And then they give up 21 in week 0 to Seneca Valley, and they just blew them out. Other than that, I mean, I guess 26 to Peters. Other than those three tallies, nobody scored more than 13 points on them. So that's a huge thing to look at. Well, on the other side, Penn Trafford, since back-to-back losses middle of September, they're on an 8-game win streak. And the most points they allowed, 14, which came at Shaler, which was a garbage time touchdown at the end of September to snap the skid. And then it was 14 to Fox Chop when they dominated them 42-14 in the quarterfinals. And then, of course, a week in the semis, they dominated Pirates in 24-6. And other than a 15-10 win over Gateway early October, Penn Trafford's won every game they've played in by at least 21 points, with the semifinal one being the exception of an 18-point win. So Penn Trafford is playing their best football at the right time of the year. And I mean, both these teams are built similar, where they like to pound the rock. They're going to throw it when they have to. But they're going to pound. They're going to center their offense around pounding the rock. They got veteran, good talent and linemen. You got two staunch, sturdy, just tough, nitty-gritty defenses that can take the ball away, that can pressure the quarterback, that can get to the backfield, that just they're basically like brick walls. So you have a white and red brick wall and a dark green and yellow gold brick wall, basically, that are going to be built at Heinz Saturday night. And it's both are sold on special teams. So really, these two teams are carbon copies of each other, almost. It really is. And for Penn Trafford, these seniors, when Penn Trafford last made it to Heinz in 2017, these guys were in 8th grade. So this is something. So Penn Trafford, for the amount of success they've had, you know, under John Rain, they've got to the championship a couple of times, coming up to hand, and this group could be the first group to ever win a title for a program that's looking for number one and that's had a lot of success over the last decade. On the other hand, Moon, again, you know, they have a title to their name as Moon won a title in 1998, which is the program's last and only trip to a Whitfield championship, so they're back this far, and the community's excited, the city's excited, and I mean, it's awesome for the senior class who has really done a great job turning the program around the last couple years. And it's paid off, and it's exciting that they're here. And again, Moon, first time back since 98, trying to get their second title. Penn Trafford, they've been here a couple times with the come up to hand, trying to get their first ever title. What's not to love about this? And again, they're similar styles. I mean, both veteran teams. Talk about made up for a grueling, low-scoring, beautiful Western PA championship game. What is not to be excited about? And you're looking at it for Moon, Tyler McGowan, over 1,200 yards passing, 8 touchdowns, 4 picks. He's run for just around 250 yards with another 3 touchdowns. But then on the ground, Dylan Sleva leads the team, 772 yards with 7 scores. Right behind him is Jeremiah Dean, who's the home run hitter, just about 550 yards rushing with 9 touchdowns. Ian Foster's got just about 450 yards with 8 scores on the ground. And then Joe Collins, just under 250 yards with 2 scores. And Ben Blayle's at 150 rushing, 7 touchdowns. He's second on the team with 16 grabs or 226 yards. Of course, Ben Blayle, the stud pass rusher anchoring the Tiger defense. Also has Sleva in the middle of it, as well as Dante Docchio. And then Dean's in the back of it with Newhouse and such. Well, then, receiving-wise, Sleva's got 662, Docchio 556. Docchio has 1 touchdown as well. Blade always said he's 16 or 226. And then Tate Beachy leads the team, 38 grabs, 483 yards, and 6 touchdowns. So there is offense that goes around here. Don't let them fool you. They can throw the ball when they have to. But you look at the other side, Penn Trafford's offense, it's kind of a two-man show. The star going to Wisconsin, Cade Yakimelli. Shout out to our boy Yakimelli, named the Puskas Fab 22 team on this Thanksgiving morning, as well as Ben Blayle. But Cade Yakimelli shouting us out, says Cover 3 Athletics is his favorite Twitter handle to follow. So shout out Cade Yakimelli, appreciate you, man. So, and everyone else, go check us out, Cover 3 Athletics on Twitter. So, but anyways, back to the preview here. So Yakimelli leads the Warriors, 14 catches for 191 yards, but mainly he's run 1,498 yards, 22 touchdowns, and just absolute dynamite. On the other side of it, Carter Green's had a phenomenal senior year quarterbacking this offense, 1,024 yards passing, 9 touchdowns, 5 picks, but all with his legs, 1,019 yards and 14 touchdowns. And actually, Carter Green is player number 16 to join the Whippoorwills 1,000 club. That's 1,000 yards passing, 1,000 rushing in the same season. So hats off to him. So Carter Green, phenomenal year, well deserved. But then also, and then Ian Demery, Garrett Matz, Adam combined for about 300 yards rushing. Within receiver wise, Liam Hallman, second on the team, 13 grabs, just under 200 yards. He has one touchdown. Tommy Kalkstein, 12 grabs, 264 yards. He's got four scores. But then Seth Dunlap, 6 grabs for over 100 yards. Jake Otto, 9 for just about 150. Jack Jolly, 7 for just under 100 yards. And next to Otto's 2 touchdowns, Jolly is 1. So that's that. So, but again, the Warrior defense has some studs. Yakimelli anchoring the back. Green as well. Conlon Green, nice little H-back type. It's a pass rusher, too. Jolly's in the middle. So, I mean, so, I mean, both ways. So this one, I mean, this one is really hard to pick. And something we haven't done where we look at the kickers here. Penn Trafford, Nathan Schlesinger, 52 extra points made, 7 field goals. Well, the other hand, Moon's kicker is Jake Weiland. He's made 4 field goals along with 44 extra points on the season. So, literally, these two teams cut down the middle. They're pretty much even. I mean, so I think this is going to be, like I said, a low-scoring game. And we've been on Moon all year long. Penn Trafford, we've picked them to go far as well. So, it comes down to this game. I'm going to say one thing. This game, who is the best player? Best player on the field, I'm going to go with Katie Iacomelli. And at the end of the day, I think Penn Trafford's going to find a way to finally break through, get that title. I think the Warriors win this one 16-14. I think it's going to be late. I think it's going to be a case where Schlesinger kicks 3 field goals in the first 3 quarters. Moon, I think, is going to find a way to have a 14-9 lead going into the fourth. But what matters was I think Iacomelli breaks away with a late touchdown run to win this one 16. Well, maybe midway to win 16-14, but that's my pick. Going Penn Trafford, but I think the safest bet is this could be a hard, physical game. It's not going to be sexy, but it's going to be really good. It's going to be a low-scoring game in the teens. But I think that's what it's going to come down to. And then real quick, the LLC state playoffs around the state gets the quarterfinals with our 5 Whitfield champions that can crown a Heinz the next 2 days. They'll go to the state semifinals directly next weekend. Of course, the one state quarterfinal that we're going to keep an eye on features our 6A Whitfield champs, my 11 and 8-time Whitfield champs. First time in 21 years to get one. The Blue Devils, they will host McDowell Friday night for a chance to go to the state semifinals. So you got the trio of Eli, Alex Texka, Joby D. Blue Devils at home, I think there's no hangover. I think they make a statement and beat McDowell with at least 2 scores to go to the state semifinals and keep it going. So that's that. So you guys enjoy this as whatever you decide to do to watch these 5 championships at Heinz, be safe, be smart, enjoy yourselves. And hopefully we have 5 good games. I think we will. As Cover 3 Athletics, follow us on Twitter at Cover3_ETH. And it's capital C and cover the number 3 underscore all caps ATH. Find Cover 3 Athletics on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok for polls, player featurettes, fun things, and more, as well as Facebook. And then go to our website, cover3athletics.worksite.com/WSPN. It's cover the number 3 athletics in the address bar, and that's where you can link everything with this podcast, previous podcasts, as well as our social media, our brother blog, Brentero's World of Sports, which has player featurettes, spotlights, etc., our anchor, which is all of our podcasts, scores, everything else, and more. Hope you guys have enjoyed this. Of course, really quick, as our 2021 Whitfield Football All-Stars, We're doing a new format this year to shake it up, so they'll be coming out in the next probably two weeks, as well as great for the basketball season. We're doing something new for the season, guys, for basketball as well, so stay tuned for that. They'll be out around Christmas time. So, with that being said, enjoy the action. It's championship season, 5 games, 2 days, Heinz Field, 5 more Whitfield champions to be crowned. Who's on the throne? And we'll talk about it Sunday or Monday. See you guys then. Enjoy the action. Take care.